RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Passes does it again, it's gone, it's into the bullpen, this game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field, it's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires, swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over!
All right, we're back. Play Tessie, episode 301. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. You know the drill. We're on the socials at Play Tessie. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Sammy's here. Pat's here. Gordo with you guys. Sorry if I'm a little quiet. I'm in a hotel right now, still in Africa. Actually, last pod I was in London, right? Have I done it in Africa yet?
No. This is your second one from Africa.
Second in Africa? Okay. So in Africa and in a hotel, and it's like midnight and people are sleeping. So I'm trying to be considerate, but also got to commit to the grind. That was fun, like watching the Pats. It's weird. It's like 8 p.m. here. For me, it felt like a Sunday night game. And then it's literally just Pats, Jets, and the Patriots score every single drive, and life is good. There's no baseball news, so having the Pats is nice.
Yeah, it's kind of the opposite for me. I'm out here in Seattle still. 10 a.m. game. It felt like a Europe game, I guess you could put it. It didn't feel right. People always talk up, oh, it's great. Football starts at 10 a.m. out here on the West Coast. I didn't like it. Felt weird. Didn't feel big. I feel like late games feel bigger. 1 p.m. for football feels normal, and this was neither of those. So glad the Patriots won. They really only played half a game and still won by 72 points or whatever it was. The Jets are a complete joke. But yes, that was fun to watch. I love watching the Patriots win, especially out here in Seattle where the Patriots are not well-liked.
I feel like that's got to be crazy because I feel like every 1 o'clock game just must feel like a London game.
And there's the London games?
No more. When they play in London, there's like the 9 a.m. games?
No. I'm saying like for them, like what are the London games? It's like 6 a.m.
Oh, dude, like 6 a.m. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like it could be right now in the background. I got Eagles Bills going, which is a very good game. Like I'm excited to watch this game. If that were 10 a.m., I would like my interest to be cut by like 75%. It's still a good game. It's just not the time of day for football. I feel like that would really truly throw me off big time.
East Coast is optimized best, in my opinion. And I know people don't like, oh, waiting until 8:25 p.m. for Sunday or Monday night football to start. I don't like it. I enjoy that. That feels high stakes. You wait all day. It's dark outside.
Builds, yeah.
Yeah, builds all day long. It's the same with baseball when you have to wait till 7 or 8 in the playoffs. I don't mind that at all. 4 o'clock? Dude, when I lived in California for a few years, back when I was in high school many, many years ago, and every Red Sox game was 4:10 p.m. Do you know how disgusting that is? God forbid if I wasn't a high school student, had to work a full-time job, miss the first 2 innings of every game. Gross.
Yeah, I feel like the moral of the story is that Eastern Standard Time is unequivocally the best time for a million reasons.
I feel like that'd be so sick, though. Like, as a high school student, like, get out of school, have a snack, and then the socks are on. Like, that sounds so optimal.
But that's kinda, like 4 years of your life. Like, think about how much of your life you would then have to live in the real world where you got to work a full day. True. And then it's like what Sammy said.
I also don't like, I didn't like watching Red Sox games knowing that I had homework to do in the back of my mind. I remember that being a thing that I hated. It's like I was enjoying the game, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, you got to do math in an hour, English paper. Just, no, East Coast time. We can complain about certain things, but at the end of the day, I think the East Coast time zone is best optimized for American sports.
You just get to watch Dice Gay throw six innings of two-run ball, and then you got pre-calc homework.
So we've got what? We got this pod and then two more pods, and then we're back.
Yes.
Right? Do either of you guys have any weird time zone trips planned rest of the winter?
I'm back on the second, so this should be the last weird one. I'm excited. Do you know who Terry Gross is, Gordo?
No.
Terry Gross is a famous NPR host. And there was someone who commented that you sound like you're on NPR when you're doing these late night podcasts because Terry Gross would talk like this, and that was the famous voice that everyone grew to know. You sound like that. It's not a bad thing.
No, it's a bad thing. I hate sounding like, dude, I know. I hate it.
It was funny.
I want to yell. I want to yell about the Sox.
Because when you were talking, you'd be like, all right, everybody. So now we're going to pivot to Alex Bregman. Do we think he'll be back in the Red Sox? You know, like, it was just so crazy.
Joe?
Gordo, have you ever considered a career in ASMR with that kind of voice?
Gordo, if you say you don't know what ASMR is, I'm going to lose my mind.
Come on. Oh, my God. Come on.
I don't know.
Welcome to Play what Tessie. Is it?
Gordo, it's when... Like, how do you describe ASMR? It's like when people record themselves talking extremely close to a mic and it's supposed to elicit like a sensation. It's soothing to some people. It's uncomfortable. I think it's uncomfortable, but people love it. It's super popular. Or they could like run their hand over like a comb and it makes a sound. Or like this. Like, did maybe, that sound like anything?
Maybe we should do that. We should just, John Henry, please spend money.
I don't get it. What kind of pleasure does someone get from that?
It's funny. Because you actually strike me as the exact person who would love ASMR.
Dude, no. Are you kidding? It'll make me want to chop my ears off.
Give her a whirl. Give it a whirl.
Okay, I think. Gordo, here it is. ASMR, autonomous sensory meridian response, is a pleasant tingling sensation often starting on the scalp and moving down the neck, triggered by a specific soft sound or visual, leading to deep relaxation, calm, and well-being. Thank you.
So, guys, do you think the Red Sox have a chance at Bo Bichette?
Ew. Oh, God, that just sent a shiver down my spine.
But I
miss baseball so much.
Yeah, and this time of year, like between Christmas and New Year's, there's just so little happening. Like, I don't know if it's actually little happening, or maybe it's just so many of the writers are on vacations, the executives are with their families. Like, we got nothing this time of year. Like, there is, and it's every year. We know it's coming. These are like the hardest times to come up with good podcast content. But what we're going to do today for this pod, we've got, depending on the amount of time, we've got 7, 8, 9, 10 or so of the top free agents. We talked about it on Baseball is Important. Baseball Isn't Boring with Brad Ford. We thought those guys were going to go at the beginning of the offseason. We're now about to hit the new year. All of these guys that we're going to talk about are still unsigned. So we're going to give some updated predictions. We'll have some conversations. Obviously, you know, Alex Speer was one of the guys who did write an article, talked about the five dudes the Red Sox are currently pursuing, two of which are free agents. We're just going to do free agents here. So no Ketel Marte, no Brandon Donovan, none of the starting pitchers like Freddie Peralta or whatever. But fellas, I'm going to start you off with Kyle Tucker, who we've heard practically nothing about, which is shocking. It's like the first time ever where you get the biggest free agent out there and there's other guys going first and you hear nothing about his market. Sammy, where's your prediction for Kyle Tucker?
Before I get my prediction, I do agree this is very strange. You think back to Otani a few years ago, Soto last year. Those were the two big free agents in their respective off seasons, and there was tons of chatter from the jump, all the different teams in on these players. Like, oh, the Soto's having conversations with the Red Sox after he meets with the Blue Jays, and the Mets are in, and the Yankees want to bring him back, and all these different teams. And then Ohtani sweepstakes was insane. I remember us going through that. Kyle Tucker, in my opinion, easily the best available free agent, at least in terms of hitters, and there's been nothing. And for that reason, I'm just going to default to the Toronto Blue Jays, because I don't think the Dodgers are going to make another big splash. They had to pay, I think it was like $150 million in terms of just tax. So even for the Dodgers, that's crazy. Therefore, the Blue Jays are my pick. I think that would make them far and away the best team in the American League if they're not already there. And that is my best guess on Kyle Tucker, but that is not a supremely confident guess. I'll be honest with that one.
Pat, where are you at?
The less we hear about Kyle Tucker, the more I do think he goes to the Dodgers. Because I think they're going to do something along the lines of like 3 years, 135, so 45 a year, and an opt-out after each year. Like, I think that is where we're headed towards with Kyle Tucker. I think the Blue Jays make the most sense. But as things start to, you know, get further and further in the offseason, and nothing seems to be materializing or close or no new rumors with him, I think the Dodgers kind of swoop in here, kind of like they've done before on a bunch of different guys. It's what a weird thing, because people were debating whether he's going to get $400 or $500 million. And then so far, really, the only teams in on him seem to be the Blue Jays. The Cubs don't even want him, it seems like, which is crazy. And then it's like the Dodgers kind of outside looking in. I don't know. Maybe if he thinks that he can do better in a year or two, he might settle for a deal like the Dodgers could give him, that kind of 3 years, opt out after each. So, yeah, I'll go Dodgers.
See, Pat, I agree with you with one thing. I'm not going to pick the Dodgers, but if he's going to take a short-term deal with opt-outs, that's who's going to get him, right? Like, if you're Kyle Tucker, if you're taking the short-term deal, the Dodgers love those kinds of deals. That's what they were offering Juan Soto. That's what they've offered a lot of guys. And some of them take him, some of them don't. Most of them don't, because they're the elite dudes. To me, I think he gets the best offer from the Blue Jays, and I think he takes it. I think that money's going to be there from them. If it's not there, he's going to go Dodgers. And if that offer is not there, the Red Sox should be in it, but they won't be. And I think the money's going to be there anyway. So I don't even think it's going to be a factor. I think he probably knows he can get that money from the Blue Jays. He's hanging around seeing if maybe like, oh, Red Sox lose Bregman. I don't know. Bichette goes somewhere completely unforeseen and maybe the Dodgers go all in. I don't know. I'm sure he's hoping that something that we aren't thinking is going to happen. But in the end, I think the Blue Jays are going to be the one team with the huge offer out there. And I think that's where he goes.
Could also, I know you said a short-term deal with opt-outs, but the way I was hearing it from you guys was like 2 or 3 years. Could also do the extreme opt-out route that Bregman went. And maybe someone gives him $40 million and it's basically a one-year deal, because Kyle Tucker had a good season in 2025, but it wasn't his kind of his best. You could say he was playing through, I believe it was a hand injury, 4.6 WAR, which is less than Jaron Duran, for reference. So maybe he wants to re-enter the market coming off a better season. Like, we've seen him, that's actually his lowest full season WAR of his career. I'm looking at it now. So that's one, that's how good Kyle Tucker is. Two, might be evidence that he would like to get another shot at hitting the open market. But again, this is just hypothesizing.
Yeah, if he's taking an opt-out deal, that is that structure. It's the opt-out after 1 year. And it'll probably be like a 3 or 4 year deal with opt-outs after every year. But
okay, yes,
he's way too good to be getting that deal. Like, that'd be crazy to me. This is one of the top 10 players in the sport.
His age now plays into the contract that he should be getting. Like, that 10 years, 380, 400, whatever it is. Like, yeah, I get you get the high annual value on a short term with opt-outs. You kind of re-hit the market. But it could be a situation where he's a year older. He has a similar year to this year. So everything's the same. It's just he's a year older, which could hurt him. So I don't know. It's weird. I'm still going to stick with the Dodgers, but I think he's crazy to not take any 8 to 10 year contract that he's offered.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Are there any other teams besides just about to ask Dodgers, that, yeah. Blue Jays? Because I can't see the Yankees doing it. They're tiptoeing around Bellinger, so I don't think they're going to get Tucker.
Could be Phillies? The Mets.
Mets, oh yeah, Mets always have to consider. Phillies, yeah, Dombrowski, but they just gave a lot of money to Schwarber. Their outfield is brutal. It's not a very good outfield in Philly.
Dombrowski said they were done with it, but I don't, like, you don't have to believe that. Like,
no.
Who cares?
What if
the Giants?
That's just gonna say San Francisco, maybe. I don't know. I don't think the Padres are gonna spend huge anymore. I feel like that ship has sailed. It's weird. This is unlike any free agent we've ever covered since we've been doing the show. It's the far and away the number one guy available, but there's no smoke at all from anywhere.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, in picking the Blue Jays, it makes the Bo Bichette pick so much more difficult too. So let's go to that 1 second. Pat, I'll start with you on this one. You feel like it feels like for you, since you picked Tucker to the Dodgers, the easy choice is Bichette back to the Jays.
So that's, yes, I'm going to go with the Jays. That being said, I think those two guys and those two teams get flip-flop. So, like, if Tucker goes to Toronto, I think Bichette goes to the Dodgers.
Do they have room for Bichette? Like, that's where I got stuck, because earlier in the offseason, I picked them both to Toronto, and I wanted to loop one to the Dodgers, and I wanted it to be Bo. But I just don't know where that fit is. They have Tommy Edman. They've got Max Muncy at third. They've got Freeman at first. They got Mookie at short. Like, I guess Edmund could go to the outfield.
Yeah. Yeah. So, So, long story short, because I chose Tucker to the Dodgers, I will go Bichette to the Jays. Fit is clean. I will be curious to see. I feel like this isn't really talked about. If he goes back to Toronto, I'm very curious to see if they play him at shortstop, because I don't think they will.
They may not. I mean, Jimenez showed that he's perfectly, I shouldn't say perfectly capable. He's really good.
Yeah.
But that's where I'm picking Bo. I'm going to double up. I said at the beginning of the offseason, nothing's changed for me to back off of it. I don't know what Bo's market is outside of the Blue Jays. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It surely does. But to me, I still think the Blue Jays should be the favorite to bring him back. It would be a little bit crazy to see them do both, but I mean, we've seen the Blue Jays go nuts in terms of guys they get and in terms of guys they offer money to and don't get. We've seen it for three straight off seasons. So there's no reason to believe they would stop even after Cease. So it would suck, but that's where I'm going.
I'm with you, Gordo. I think Bo Bichette goes back to the Blue Jays. I could even see them getting Bichette and maybe Kyle Tucker as well, and just having a crazy, crazy historic off season, though that's probably not super likely they get both, just saying, not out of the question. I do think there's a non-zero chance that if Arizona moves Ketel Marte and the timing with Bregman doesn't work out for them, that maybe Bo Bichette could end up in Arizona. But this is another one where it's kind of like just default to the Blue Jays. It just makes sense. It sounds lazy, but it makes sense.
Do we all agree they're getting at least one, right? Yeah. There's no chance they end up with zero.
I would be shocked if the Blue Jays did not add another big bat. It could even
one of those two though.
Could even be Bregman.
That's the thing. Like, I'm cutting it off at those two, and I like it's like 1% for me that they don't end up with one of those two. Like, I'm cutting it off even before Bregman. That's why I've been so unmoved by the Bregman rumors. At least for the Jays.
Do you guys think that the 2027 free agency class, which is unbelievably weak, do you think that's part of why things are moving slow? Because the players have more leverage. We've been talking about the lockout a lot. We haven't really mentioned the upcoming, the next free agent class, which is it's a lot of like, oh, you wanna let me go elsewhere? What's your backup plan? Look who's coming up down the pipeline. Not much to look at.
And it's crazy too, because that 27 class would have been Scooble and Crochet, which is insane. But we don't have to worry about that because we have Craig Breslow.
Yay, Craig Breslow.
All right, let's go to the third one. Third one's going to be Alex Bregman. I've made my thoughts on this clear pretty much nonstop since the beginning of the offseason. I still think, regardless of what rumors are coming out about the Diamondbacks, the Blue Jays, the Cubs, whatever, I still think he ends up back in Boston. I think they find common ground. I think both these sides need each other. I think the Red Sox certainly need Alex Bregman, and Bregman wants to finish off a hopeful Hall of Fame career in a place that he can win, in a place that he can put up numbers to get to the Hall of Fame. This is a place where he and his family enjoyed last year. I see no reason for him to leave unless another team blows the Red Sox out of the water with money. And I think the Red Sox are going to offer something at least somewhat close to fair, and I don't see a team going completely bananas approaching $200 million with an offer. So sticking to my guns, Bregman back to Boston. Sammy, where are you at?
Same as you, Gordo. I think he's gone back to the Red Sox. It would scare me a little bit if Arizona moved Marte. That would kind of make me a bit more nervous. I guess if Bichette and Tucker went off the board, like I just said, and neither of them somehow end up with the Blue Jays, then maybe Toronto swoops in. But all these things are unlikely. I think Bregman to the Red Sox makes a ton of sense for everyone involved. Like you said,
I'm going to Arizona.
Wow.
Yeah, because it feels eerily similar to Corbin Burns last year. They just kind of swoop in out of nowhere and get it. He's from the area. He trains out there in the offseason. And I just think they're willing to go to depths that, quite frankly, the Red Sox aren't. I think they'll give him 6 years. I don't think he'll hit 30. Like, I don't think it's going to be 6 for 180. But, you know, 6 for 150, 6 for 155. I think that gets it done. And I say that in part because if that were to happen, I do then think that the Red Sox trade for Ketel Marte, which is ridiculous because they should have just paid Bregman. But yeah, I think the smoke with Arizona is legit. I think the fit is pretty clean overall. I know they have Jordan Lawler over there and Perdomo and whatever else. So maybe Lawler can play second, figure it out, whatever. But for me, I don't know, because like I just had like this gut feeling that it's going to be a lot like Corbin Burns, and they just swoop in and get something done.
Okay, Pat, question for you. If the Ketel Marte trade has to happen first for Bregman to go to Arizona, and we always talk about Bregman wanting to win, after him being with the Red Sox and seeing them ship Devers out of town, do we really think he would want to go to Arizona seeing them also ship their star player out of town? Because neither of those things point to winning. And if that's important to Bregman, this is why I'm not really afraid of Arizona right now.
I think they would trade Ketel after.
After? There was that Rosenthal report maybe that said that like he thought they would have to do it before, but then he kind of backed off of it.
The only reason I say after is because if they don't get a Bregman or a Bichette, then I think it's ridiculous to trade Ketel Marte.
They'd have to feel confident.
And then if they do it after, I mean, tax purposes, payroll, all that, it doesn't matter as long as they don't end the year over, you know, the first or second luxury tax. So that's part of it too. I think they would, at that point, if they sign one of Bichette or one of Bregman, they have all the leverage in a Ketel Marte trade, all of it, because whatever team is not going to get Bichette or Bregman is going to need someone like a Ketel Marte. And then Arizona's like, no, we have an unreal roster right now. We don't really need to trade him. Give us your best package. So I think they could do it after. But if this is a thing where it's like a contingency, they need to trade Ketel before they pony up, that changes it a little bit, but I think they would do it after.
So I've got two questions for you guys. Bo and Bregman here. Over or under $40 million total guaranteed money gap between those two deals?
Ooh, under. I don't think it'll be that big of a difference.
I think also under. Yeah, I think it's also going to be under. I think Bichette's market's weird enough and Bregman's market is good enough where I think Bregman maybe gets a little bit higher than he should and Bichette gets a little bit lower than he should. I think it's going to be less than 40.
Okay. I think it'll be right around 40. I originally would have had the over. I'll take the under now because I don't think Bichette's getting $200 million like I thought he was before. So with that said, if it is going to be under $40 million gap between the two, understanding that the Red Sox give up no picks for Bregman, they would give up their second and fifth highest picks for Bichette. Obviously, Bregman has the intangibles, and you look at the numbers, he's been better than Bo, but Bo's obviously 4 years younger. If the gap in contracts is about $35 to $40 million total guaranteed, which one do you prefer, Bregman or Bo?
In a vacuum or on the Red Sox?
On the Red Sox.
I've gone back and forth on this one. It's not the first time we've discussed it. I think right now, December 28th, my answer is just sign Bregman. I think he brings... I mean, first off, we could talk about the intangibles all day. I think that gets a bit overstated, but I do think it's super important. My reasoning is he's really good. Can you name three third basemen in Major League Baseball who are better than Alex Bregman? I feel like the numbers part has almost been underrated. I can think of Jose Ramirez and Junior Caminero. Who else is a better third baseman than Alex Bregman?
Manny Machado.
Mm-mm. I looked at the numbers. He fell off a cliff defensively, and his offense was not as good.
That's a close one.
Because I thought the same thing.
Overall, Pat, I'm taking Bregman. Just yeah, with honestly, everything. With everything beyond the numbers.
Who you got?
So I'm looking at Machado. Offensively, 275, 2790. I'm taking Machado. I mean, those numbers are legit. 27 home runs, 95 RBI. Matt Chapman is an interesting conversation.
Mm-hmm. He's good.
Not because, Austin Riley.
No, two bad seasons in a row.
Matt Chapman was like not super good this year like he was the year before. He only hit 230, 21 home runs, 60-something RBI. But he was still a 4-WAR player with a 230 average. Like, the defense is that good. I think that's a conversation. I think I still lean Bregman, but that's definitely the closest comp to Bregman.
Wasn't Bregman a 4-WAR player? Wasn't he like 4-1? I'm checking right now.
Right around yeah, there, yeah.
3-5, excuse me. I'm thinking of the year prior. But Bregman, 3-5, despite missing a ton of time and playing through injury. Right. I just think that the conversation with Bregman has been skewed to a point where people are no longer appreciating how friggin' good this guy is. And we just discussed it. Like, Jose Ramirez, yeah. Sure. I think most people would put Junior Caminero ahead of Bregman just because of the bat. Like, his defense is awful. He'll be a first baseman eventually, but he's a third baseman now. And then the other two, it's Machado, which I would lean Bregman just because Machado's defense has fallen off a lot. And Chapman, who, you know, take your pick. Either way, there's not many guys in Bregman's realm. So long way of me saying this guy's really good, and I feel like that's been lost on a lot of people. So that's my pick, him over Bichette right now.
Can I throw another hat in the ring for someone who I think is better?
Yeah.
Mikel Garcia.
No, okay.
Yeah, no. Maybe. No.
Gordo? Gordo?
1 year. You can't say this after 1 year.
Yeah.
5.8 war.
He had a great year.
I'm somewhere between you guys.
800. Dude.
Yeah. 1 year.
Mikel Garcia is very good.
Pat, I was going to say, great season. I just need to see him do it more. Like Austin Riley last year, if you had put him in the mix, I would have said he had a down year, but he's been good for so long. I'm not going to knock him. But now he's been bad 2 years in a row, so I'm comfortable knocking him. But Mikel Garcia is friggin' awesome. One of the most underrated players in the game. And Kansas City already locked him up.
Pat, if the delta in contracts is 35 to 40 million, who are you taking, Bo or Bregman?
Wait, Sid, what did you just say?
If the delta between the contracts that they get is 35 to 40 million dollars, Bo makes like 35 to 40 million total guaranteed more. Who are you taking?
Bo. And the reason I say Bo is, and this is the most underrated part of Bo, is his age. 27. I think if you move him to probably second base, second or third, because he's not a shortstop, I think he'd be average to plus at either defensive position. The bat is legit. He's going to hit for power. He's going to hit for average. He's going to hit for extra base hits. He can do everything at the plate. I think he'll be a plus defender wherever he moves to. And he's 27. Like, that age thing is so legit. Because you're talking about a guy who, when Bichette is on 30, that would be Roman being 24, 25, Marcelo being 25. Like, you have a very legit core there. That's really the only reason I prefer Bichette, even with the, whatever it is, 35, 40 million in difference in guaranteed money.
Fun fact between those two, Bregman and Bichette, same exact war, B-war, I should say. But Bichette was this 25 more games. So Bregman's still really friggin' good.
I think people think that today Bichette's the better player. He's not. Bregman's the better player today.
Ooh.
Today? Yeah.
I disagree. Yeah.
If it were 1 year deals, no picks involved, same money, Bregman all the way.
Bregman, easy.
Wow. Yeah.
But the age thing is where obviously that's a huge factor. The $35 to $40 million borderline there, that's where I kind of get into Bo territory. If his number comes down, and I don't want to do another deal where he can opt out after a year and the Red Sox are giving up picks for a 1 year deal. I'd much rather see them pay a little extra to get Bregman at that point. But if you're giving a long term deal to Bregman or a long term deal to Bo, and it's $35 million more to get Bo at 4 years younger, that's where I get swayed. So I lean towards Bregman's my favorite target because of where I think the deals end up. But as this goes on and Bichette's name comes up less and less and less, and there's more teams seemingly signing other guys and committing money, Bo moves up further and further and further on my list every single day he's on the market. So it'll be interesting to see where those deals go. It's hard to pick a favorite without knowing exactly where the money goes. Okay. Do you want to move to the next one? We'll do Cody Bellinger here. This means Sammy's up first.
I think Cody Bellinger signs with the... Give me the Angels. I feel like the Angels got to make some big splash every offseason, whether it makes sense or not. I think they'll go for Bellinger. Versatility, very good player. A little inconsistent, but I think that's beside the point. I think that's where he'll end up. I think the Yankees really screwed themselves by offering the QO to Trent Grisham, excuse me. So that's my pick. Bellinger to the Angels.
Pat, who you got?
You're muted.
How incredibly awkward. I just said, I'm double checking. Okay. No, I'm right. I'm going to go with the San Francisco Giants.
Ooh. Wow.
Back to the NL West. I would say they have a need in the outfield. They have a couple of interesting young guys, like Drew Gilbert. He was the big piece from, originally it was the Mets and Astros. He was in the Rogers trade. But former top 100 prospect. He's a guy that I'm sure they'll want to give some playing time. Junho Lee, who when he's been healthy has been good. He hasn't really been a beacon of health. And then they have like Heliot Ramos, but I don't know, man. I feel like San Francisco is due for a big move because they haven't really done a whole lot this offseason, whether it be a starting pitcher or a big bat like Bellinger. I think they're due. So I'm going to go with the Giants.
You know what would sway me a lot with the Giants? If they viewed Cody Bellinger as a center fielder, because right now, Junho Lee, he's a decent bat, but he's an awful defender. He's a quarter outfielder for sure. So if they think Bellinger can play center and move Lee to a corner spot, I don't know what you do with Ramos. He's not that great anyway, but that would make me kind of lean towards San Francisco. But I do. That's a good pick, Pat. I like that one.
Yeah, the Giants are weird because they're a team that obviously has money to spend as they always do, but they've been crying poor and it feels like it's posturing. And I don't know if it's going to go to a pitcher. I might have a pitcher on this list going to the Giants. We'll see. For Cody Bellinger, to me, it's interesting neither of you guys picked a New York team because to me, I really do think this is a New York versus New York stare down. And the Mets are going to do their best here, but I do think he's going to go back to the Yankees. I think the Yankees are the kings of crying poor. and then eventually paying their guy, given the big offer. They do it every offseason. Cashman's doing it again this winter. He's not about to let Cody Bellinger get away. And if he does, like, oh boy, I'm about to get scared, because that means to me they're about to go big for Kyle Tucker. And please, for the love of God, let them keep Cody Bellinger instead of going big for Kyle Tucker.
So let me poke a hole in that theory, just because I could see that New York stare down happening. My second pick was actually the Mets. I was almost going to pick the Mets. But for the Yankees, how does that formation work? Because you got Trent Grisham. He's on the team for 2026. You can't move him. Aaron Judge, your best player, obviously not going anywhere. Stanton, probably going to occupy DH if everything goes right. And then Jason Dominguez, the guy that Yankees and Yankees fans have been talking up forever. Forever they've been talking about how good this kid is going to be. He's still very young. There's still a chance he's going to be good. He has not looked good in Major League Baseball. Like, are they punting already on Jason Dominguez in favor of Cody Bellinger? Like, maybe, but I'm just saying that is a big, big decision they would have to make him fit. That's why I say the Trent Grisham qualifying offer might look like a huge mistake when it's all said and done.
Yes, it would be a little bit awkward. I think the Yankees could trade him. To be honest, he's been incredibly underwhelming, but with the age of this core, with the age of Judge, Cole, Stanton, Fried, the list goes on and on and on. Like, you can't afford to waste time letting guys who have shown that they're struggling in the majors. You can't let those guys work through the kinks when you've got Aaron Judge. You don't know how many prime years you got left of this guy. Like,
yeah.
You have a 1-year deal with Trent Grisham. If it means that, you know, Jason Dominguez has spotty playing time until someone gets hurt, or Spencer Jones can't find his way into the lineup, or one of those guys gets traded, you do it. And then the other one obviously comes in when Trent Grisham leaves in a year. I agree that it muddied the waters, but the Yankees, they can't afford to get cute here. Like, their window is now, and they better take advantage of it. And if you let Cody Bellinger walk, oh my God, there's going to be hell to pay.
It would be really funny if he went to the Mets.
Oh, I mean, every other Yankee does.
You know what? Actually, I might change my pick to the Mets. No, I'll stick with the Angels. I'll stick with the Angels, but a close second for Bellinger is the Mets.
All right, let's do Framber Valdez. Pat, you're first on this one. Who you got?
This, I'm actually going to go with the Angels.
they're going to get someone. They always do.
They're going to waste money on someone when they have no window. Framber, I feel like, is going to be the poster child for that, because I would imagine teams are turned off after the whole hitting the catcher debacle. He's sending out tape saying how nice of a guy he is, which is insane that a guy who is as consistent as Framber Valdez is at 31 years old, I think, that he has to resort to that. But it's because he hurt his own image. The Angels always make a questionable move. It feels like they're always trying to compete, but they never really have the pieces or a window to compete in. So I think, I'll go Framber to the Angels on like a monster overpay, like 6-year deal overpay.
So 32, by the way, entering age 32 season. And this is where I've got the Giants going. I think they'll pay for a pitcher here. And I was debating Giants or Orioles for Framber and another pitcher on this list. I'm going with the Giants. I didn't really have an explanation other than I think I've heard a little bit more smoke about one of the other pitchers on this list to Baltimore. So I just put Framber on the Giants.
That's exactly my thought process. I was going Giants or Orioles for Framber. I'm also going to go Giants. I think that, like you mentioned, one of you mentioned the Giants kind of cry poor a lot. Framber, I think his value will be lower than initially anticipated. So that's my pick.
Okay. I'll go first on this one. Ranger Suarez. He's the one that I think I've heard a little bit more smoke to with the Orioles. So Ranger Suarez, the Orioles are spending money. They're having a big offseason. The new owner has stepped up. This is a team that's made a lot of noise, a team that came in last place that I don't think they're going to come in last, because the entire AL East is good. But this is a team that's not going to lay down and die after what happened last year. Like, they're coming out fighting, and they've made a lot of big moves, and we know that there's more to come in terms of starting pitching. They've got money to spend. They've made the big trade for Baz in the rotation. Think they'll do more. I think Ranger Suarez is their guy. It sucks. It's scary. They're going to be good, and this would really put the finishing touch on a huge offseason for these guys.
Okay, I will go back to the Phillies. I think he goes back. I think the Orioles add their next big pitcher via a trade. They're not historically big spenders, and they already spent a lot on Pete Alonso, so I don't think they're going to spend twice. So I'll say that he's just going to – I'll be boring. He's going to go home to the Phillies.
I'll get a little risky because I don't necessarily think it's realistic. I just really like the fit. I'll go with the Houston Astros.
Ooh, I like that.
I think he'll be cheaper than Framber. And then I don't know how that relationship with Framber is now. I can't imagine they're on the best of terms. But yeah, I mean, Suarez is as dependable gets. I'm not necessarily a big fan of him for the Sox. But for a team that's so starving for pitching in Houston, I could see them getting uncomfortable and paying a guy like Ranger Suarez.
Okay, last one of the main guys. And we've probably got time for maybe like a rapid fire of the last three after this. Tatsuya Imai. Sammy, where do you think he's going? Posting window ends on January 2nd, I think. He's the second and Okamoto's the fourth. Do I have that right?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to hedge here. I'm going to go San Francisco Giants because I think they will land one of Framber Valdez or Tatsuya Imai. So similar reason. He's going to be not as expensive as anticipated, still very good, a ton of upside. And so I think my best guess for Imai is that he goes to the Giants. But I don't think the Giants are going to get both those guys. I think one of them will land with San Francisco. So this is just me hedging so I get something right.
Ooh,
is that cheating? Did I cheat?
No, I don't think so. I kind of half did that with the Jays with Tucker and Bichette, even though I think there's a real chance they get both. But yeah. Part of that is because I know they're getting one.
I'm going to go. So I'm just trying to think of. So he said that he prefer a team that doesn't already have any Japanese players, and he basically ruled out the Dodgers. So I love the fit of the Cubs. That being said, they have Shota Imanaga, they have Seiya Suzuki, so I don't think it's likely. I think, you know what? I think this is where Baltimore comes in. I think he goes to Baltimore. His age, just like Bichette, is such like a selling factor here. I think he fits perfectly in their window for this kind of like maturing roster. Because I'm not going to say good young roster because they were ass last year. But I think he fits it really well. I don't think that they'll be, you know, apprehensive to pay him. So, yeah, I'll go Baltimore.
You know, Pat, I was 50-50 between the Cubs and the Yankees for this one. And you convinced – I mean, I think I was already leaning Yankees, but you convinced me to feel a little bit more confident about it. Because you're right. He said the thing about not wanting to play with Japanese players, wanting to have his own thing. And normally I wouldn't have cared much about Imanaga or Seiya Suzuki, but the presence of both of them – yeah, that's a thing. So I'm going to go with the Yankees. There's been a lot of smoke there. The Yankees are crying poor. Oh, we didn't meet with him, don't have a plan to meet with him, whatever, but they keep getting connected over and over and over and over and over again. I don't think the Yankees are laying over and dying this offseason. I don't. They've been quiet to this point. Does not mean that they're going to be quiet moving forward. I still do think that this team is going to see what the Jays are doing, understand that they were worse than the Jays last year, and they're not going to enter the season knowing that they're even farther from the Jays than they were last year. So I do think that this is going to be their attempt to get better. Do I think they should pay a starting pitcher? No, but I think that's what they do. Let's rapid fire these last three. We're going to do Okamoto, Eugenio Suarez, Zach Gallen. Okamoto.
Ring Central's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility.
Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Auto, Sammy, what do you got? Just give the team.
Pirates.
Pat.
Angels.
I've also got the Angels. This is my quote unquote big Angel swing. All right. Eugenio Suarez. Pat, who you got?
Pirates.
I'll go Reds. Back to the Reds.
Ooh. I was going to go that direction, Goro. Now I want to change. I'll stick with Reds. Seattle. I think that his value is really low, and they're like, you want to come back for a year? And he doesn't. Yeah. So I'll go Seattle.
All right, Zach Gallen, I'll go first on this one. We're going to prove Bob Nightingale right, and he's going to go to the goddamn Cubs.
Cubs, agree.
Mets.
Oh, that'd be a good one for the Mets. I like that.
That would be hilarious. They don't want to spend on pitching, but then they bring in the guy with coming off his worst season by far of his career. And honestly, Pat, I don't even think that's a bad guess at all. I could see the Mets doing that because I don't understand what the hell they're doing.
All right. Enough said before we get out of here. Anyone got one? Sam, you want to go first?
Yeah. So watching the Patriots game that we spoke about at the top of the show, I can't imagine, nor do I ever want to know what it feels like to be a New York Jets fan. Because holy shit. You watch the Patriots, Brady and Belichick just dominate you and the rest of the NFL for 20 years and win 6 Super Bowls. And then finally, the double dynasty ends and the Patriots suck. They have friggin' Cam Newton, Bailey Zappi, Mac Jones, just an amalgamation of crap at quarterback. And oh my God, now they have Drake May and Mike Vrabel, and they're what, 13-3 marching into the playoffs. Might be the one seed, might win the AFC East by the time this episode is out, they could be the champs. Like it's just completely insane. First off, how inept the Jets are, and second, how quickly the Patriots were able to turn this thing around. Because there are teams who take, like the Jets, years and years and years and years to get out of the mud. So again, Jets fans, I don't know how you do it. Credit to you. Some of the strongest people among us are those who stick with the New York Jets through all these low times. I was going to say the highs and lows, but there really aren't any highs. It's exclusively lows. So Jets suck. Patriots are really good again. All is right in the world.
Pat, you got enough said?
I do. I saw Marty Supreme the day after Christmas. Big fan. Big fan. I'm a big Chalamet fan. I was excited for Marty Supreme because there's a lot of Oscar buzz around it. Lived up to the hype. Great movie. I think he's going to win the Oscar, which that's half my enough said. So me and my girlfriend have been together for like 6.5 years. The amount of movies that we both like that we see is like slim to none. I would say we've been to the movies like, man, probably like 40 times. I would say there's been 5 movies that we've both liked, which is insane. That's an insane miss rate.
Is she a movie girl?
Yeah. Well, yes, because I'm such a big movie snob that we watch a lot of movies. A lot of times, like, we watch, like, an older movie. She likes the, like, she'll like, whatever's on Netflix or whatever that we watch. But, like, movies that, like, so our first date, this is just an example, was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. We walked out. We were like, that was awesome. Love that movie. Whatever. Like, oh, perfect.
I mean, you bailed on it early.
2 years into dating, she's like, oh, by the way, I absolutely fucking hated that movie. I'm like, awesome. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, your relationship built on lies.
But Mighty Supreme's a hit. I liked it.
Mighty Supreme. Maybe I'll go see it.
It's pretty good.
All right. Here's my enough said. Shout out to the NBA for thinking that they didn't need to give the Celtics a Christmas game this year. Thinking that just because Jason Tatum was out, the Celtics are going to be bad. Granted, I thought they were going to be bad too, but they're smart. They're supposed to be smarter than me. I'm supposed to be the dumb guy. Shout out to the NBA. Celtics, third place in the Eastern Conference. We'll see where they have a game that's starting in like 10 minutes from where we're recording right now. They have a shot to be 20-11 if they win tonight's game. Worst case, they're 19-12. Third place no matter what. Shout out to the NBA for not putting Jaylen Brown, who is on the heater of all heaters, on Christmas Day. The Celtics team is so much fun. And, you know, the NBA crushed Christmas, so I shouldn't crap on them too much. Like, they beat the NFL for the second year in a row on Christmas, which is impressive, and it's hard to do. But they could have done even better if you had the Celtics, one of the most exciting teams in the NBA, one of the best storylines in the NBA, this team playing so well without Jason Tatum, with, by the way, Jason Tatum lurking. Mm-hmm. It's a good time, man. They should have played on Christmas. They deserved it. I wish they could decide these things later.
I don't think it's hard to beat the NFL if you're the NBA on Christmas Day, because basketball, I'm not even willing to debate this, by far, by a mile, the most predictable sport in terms of which teams are going to be good. Not even close. Football, there's no way to know Patrick Mahomes is going to get snapped in half in the middle of the season. There's no way to predict that, like, XYZ team is going to fall off a cliff. Like, there's so much less margin for error. There's more flukes in football, I guess you could say, because the schedule is shorter. It's like the opposite of baseball, where the cream almost always rises to the top. So no, don't give the NBA too much credit. It's you know who your stars are, and you know which teams are going to be good. So I'm just not a basketball guy. I love the Celtics, but just basketball.
Joe?
Well, also keep in mind that football, you have to get streaming services to watch all of it. Like, I think I saw a tweet, I forget who it was from, so I can't properly attribute it, but they said, like, for this weekend to watch all the games through, like, Christmas, you need Netflix, you need Amazon Prime, you need Peacock Plus, like, you need the premium subscription, you need NFL Network, you need CBS, Fox, like, half of them are streaming services, which I hate it. Absolutely hate the streaming service. So that's why I was pro NBA on Christmas Day.
Gordo, before we wrap, I need a verdict here. While we were recording, World Series winner, former All-Star, I think, Andrew Heaney announced his retirement. Is that a congratulations or is that sorry?
Ooh. That feels like it has to be a condolences. If he were still good, he would not be retiring.
When was he good? When was he good?
He was an All-Star. I'm not losing my mind.
Dodgers.
I think he was good on the Dodgers. I think he had a good... Okay. We're doing some late podcast Andrew Heaney deep dive. I can't stand... This was one of the guys people were saying Red Sox could trade for him. And I was like, no, just bring up some guy we've never heard of from AAA. You get a guy off the street. What's his...
Dude, he gave up?
Ooh. I stand corrected. He was not an All-Star that year in Los Angeles.
Okay, 2022, he was good with the Dodgers for 72 innings. Great.
He also had not a bad 2018, made 30 starts, 4.15 ERA. It's not like a star, but like that's a bit of rotation, dude.
3.99 FIP. Okay, that's a good back of the rotation. So, Andrew, oh my God, he had a 9 FIP this year?
Yeah.
Dude, yeah, he was awful.
So
condolences.
Okay.
Condolences to Andrew Heaney.
Condolences to Andrew Heaney. He was a serviceable back of the rotation starter. Two times, and that
at best
is better than nothing, at best.
Yes, and he made a lot of money doing it because his Savant page looked kind of interesting a couple of times. So enjoy your retirement, but condolences that you had to give it up at age 34.
What did he earn? What's his career earnings? Let me see.
He had at least one double-digit million-dollar contract.
Career earnings. Here we go. Oh, $55 million. Why were we not baseball players? We should have just done that. Fucking stupid of us. Picked podcasting instead.
Yeah, he's on that. He's on that Jordan Lyles grind.
Hell yeah.
Sammy, how does it feel that you're less athletic than Andrew Heaney?
Feels okay. He was a major league back of the rotation okay starter, as we just covered. So,
Joe, worse.
Sorry, I just have one more. I just remembered of a quick enough set I wanted to get out there before we go. I get the hype on pickleball. I understand it. I played it for...
That's so random.
No.
That's so random.
Because this episode has been as random as possible. So, backstory is I had my good friend's family invite us over yesterday, and he rented an hour for a pickleball court. And I did it once in a high school gym class, and I was just like, okay. But then we played like a bunch of games, and I'm like, you know what? This is actually really good. So I might take it up.
It's and just might
buy into the hype.
It's just small tennis for people who live in the suburbs. That's pickleball. Little tennis.
Just say, don't knock it till you try it.
That was crazy. Oh yeah, guys. Just one last thing. Buy the hype on pickleball.
Wait, is Joe okay? I have a conspiracy. Are you part of Big Pickleball, Joe?
Are you? Yeah, you part of Big Pickle Pal?
Yeah, you're making money off of pickleball.
Maybe.
big pickle guy.
Maybe this Joe's might not be a press release from a hotel room in Connecticut.
When Joe.
When I wake up tomorrow morning,
they call
morning,
him Big Pickle Joe.
when I wake up tomorrow morning, super tired, I'm going to remember the 1 a.m. Andrew Heaney pickleball conversation.
Who would win at pickleball, Joe or Andrew Heaney?
Oh, I'd kick his ass.
Ooh.
I don't know, dude.
I like the confidence.
He made $55 million.
Completely different sport.
He's more athletic. More athletic than I am.
1/18th of that.
Wow. Wait, what? You've made millions?
No, I said I've made 1/18th.
Yeah, you divide $55 million by 18. Isn't that still a ton of money? Hold on, Joe.
Yeah.
Gordo, get us out of here.
I'm pretty sure it's still like $2 million.
Joe.
Isn't that like $2 or $3 million?
Joe's made $3 million we just bought. Joe's rich. Holy shit. All right. End the show. This is insane.
Get us out of here, Gordon.
All right. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Episode 301. We'll be back in your ears in a couple of days. Hopefully we get some news. If we don't, we'll have more stuff like this for you guys. We'll do this at some point. Again, we like the games. The games are fun. We appreciate you guys playing along. Episode 301. Remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on the socials at PlayTessie, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. You guys know the drill. We'll be back for episode 302 in a couple of days. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it is Gordo for PlayTessie, episode 301. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.